Okay. So that the one disadvantage of filming a podcast at the end of the week is that we typically miss a lot of the interesting stuff that happens throughout the week. However, perhaps one of the most interesting things that did happen this week actually happened just yesterday. So I'm glad that we get that. We actually get to talk about that, I think, before pretty much anybody else. But we will get to all of that later on in the show. Before we get to that, Sam, how you been, dude?
I've been doing well, man. How are you?
Good. How's the job?
It's been going. Working that 9 to 5.
Yeah, but doesn't seem like it. Seems like you're up pretty early for the most part too as well.
Well, you know, I'm sure we've mentioned the fact that we're training for a triathlon on here. And if certainly we haven't mentioned it, then people have seen it on your Instagram posts for sure.
Yep.
it's not well hidden there. But I've been waking up at around like 5, trying to get out of bed and get a workout in before work. And last week was kind of lousy for that. I've been trying to get like every couple days, trying to get a little bit of a workout in, trying to fit it in with a busy work schedule.
Yeah. No, you're right. I definitely haven't been hiding it. Instagram it became less interesting to me over the past couple months, and I just felt like the only way that I could make it interesting was if I just transitioned everything it into a total fitness page, because that's really all that I like to do, and that's really all I like to spend my time doing. So
yeah, I don't blame you. I mean, you've been all fitness for a long time.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't. All the personal stuff, like all the other like day to day stuff, like nobody cares what I'm eating for lunch or anything like that or anything like that. So
I care, Jason.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Well, I'm glad the triathlon training's going well. I feel like my training has been going fairly well, but we don't have to spend too much time talking about that. I'm glad the job's going well. I think. If you're listening to this show, then if you had a guess on where we were going to start, it was probably going to be with NFL free agency. Well, wrong. That's not where we're starting. And that was initially where I wanted to start. But then I came across a list. I came across a list posted by Max Preps. This is via ESPN. And they ranked 60 sports by difficulty. And I thought that this conversation would be really interesting for anybody listening. Because if you're listening to this show, I'm assuming you're either A, a fan of sports, B, have played sports, or C, both of those. So I wanted this conversation to kick off the show because I think it's a really fun and interesting debate. And I had somebody who I thought would be able to contribute a little bit to this conversation, and who's someone who's been tongue-in-cheek begging me to be on this podcast for the last, I don't know, however long we've been doing this show. So my younger sister, Natalie, is going to be joining us for this debate. So, Natalie, you can say hi to everybody. You can say hi to Sam. Do whatever you want.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Sam.
Hi, Natalie. So you finally got Jason to cave, get you on the show?
Yeah, I know. It was honestly easier to get him to cave than I thought it was.
I just got tired of it. The threshold for being on the show was you at least had to have listened to it, which that is a bar she has not really crossed yet.
That's not true. I have listened to it, not extensively, but I have.
Okay. Anyway.
That's not true. Bree's been on the show before and she doesn't listen to it.
She listened to it initially when we first started dating because she was just doing her best to support her new boyfriend.
Do some research.
That's what she told you.
Yeah, that's fair. Anyway, so let's kick off this conversation. So Max Preps, like I said, they posted a list via ESPN of 60 different sports, and it was ranked by difficulty. And I have a lot of thoughts about this list. I think it's completely just bass-ackwards. It is not a good list. So Sam, I sent you the list. Did you have a chance at all to peek at it?
Oh, I peeked. Okay. I discussed. Yeah.
All right. So for anybody listening, let me give you what they ranked as the top 10 easiest sports. So this is going to be 60 to 51. All right. I'll start at the bottom and I'll move my way up to 51. The easiest sport that they have ranked is fishing. That is the easiest sport. Then it goes billiards, shooting, bowling, curling, archery, equestrian, roller skating, cheerleading, and golf at 51. So my first thought is whoever made this list has never played golf in their life. Sam, what do you think about golf being ranked as the 51st easiest sports?
So do we have any other context, like, in regards to how they ranked this?
None.
Because so Jenna and I were going through it and like how could you put so and so in front of blah blah blah, right?
Yeah.
And to me, it seems like they've really penalized the sports that are, I guess, more hobbies, like anyone could do based on physical like shape. So that makes sense why golf would be lower, but even if you're in like great shape, that doesn't guarantee you being good at golf.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's just, I would love to just hear like the committee that put together this list for ESPN, what their rationale was.
I agree. Nat, you played golf. Out of the three of us here, you're the only one who actually played golf in high school. When you saw that, what was the thought?
You know, the thing is I, in a sense, I get where they're going because, like, professionally, you know, you're not really – you're getting carted around. But if you think about how hard it is to be good at golf, it's one thing to play golf, and it's, like – maybe playing golf is easy, but being good at golf are two very different things.
And I would feel, honestly, the same thing would kind of be, could kind of be said for, I guess, any of the other sports behind it. But out of the 10 sports that I just listed, yeah, golf feels like the absolute most technical out of all of these. Now, I've never tried competitive roller skating before, and I've.
And
never...
are we sliding cheerleading right here?
I mean, was gonna say.
Well, that's another thing. Natalie talks about cheerleading.
But so where is the distinction between cheerleading and gymnastics? I know that they're completely different, but then cheerleading has evolved so much with the choreography and the flips and the stunts that they're doing that it's like it's molding into gymnastics like athletes.
Right. And to mention that, gymnastics is actually eighth on the list. So Nat, golf or cheerleading, what's harder?
I would say cheerleading is harder. And I think a lot of people, when they hear cheerleading, they think like
sideline
cheer, like standing there, you know, reciting cheers and stuff like that. But when it comes to competition cheer, you have a 3-minute routine where you are dancing. You are hitting movements. You are dancing to the same beat as the rest of your team.
Then your squad.
Your squad. Then you're tumbling, which is a big part of what gymnastics is. Now, gymnastics has much more advanced skills involved. But if you're at a really high level of cheerleading, you're doing some of the same skills that gymnastics do. And then on top of that, you're also throwing people up in the air, doing three people level stunts, again, depending on the level. I just think people see the word cheerleading and they think sideline cheer, but competition cheer should be way higher.
Yeah. Go ahead, Sam.
So I think there's an important distinction, right, that we got to make in terms of, and I would urge people, because we haven't done a very good job of going through the whole list. We've only gone through the last 10. Go to Max Prep's Instagram account, find this list so you can look at it yourself as we go through it. I think if we take all these sports as like the highest point, I think that's the best way to compare them. Because if you go and I look at 27 is cycling.
Yeah.
I mean, that's legitimately riding a bike. Mm-hmm. Everyone can ride a bike. that doesn't mean that, that to me would be like, well, that should be lower on the list then.
Yeah.
There's more people. There's more people that know how to ride a bike than know how to fish.
That's very that's true. Probably true. That's probably true. And for anybody who's listening, this was posted 3 days ago on Max Prep's Instagram account. The just a couple other like weird standouts to me that I was that I was looking at this again. Swimming for distance is at 36 and swimming sprints is at 45. Mm-hmm. And you and I now have some level of appreciation for that. And Ben, I'm assuming, I don't know how often he's been swimming, but I like the three of us at least now can at least give it some opinion on how difficult swimming is. And for me, I will say that I always felt, and this is going to come across as really egotistical, but just playing a bunch of sports in my, like, throughout my childhood and throughout my life, I felt that like usually when I picked up a new sport, I was able to at least do it fairly well, fairly quickly. And then I started swimming for this triathlon, and I don't think I've ever felt more uncoordinated in my entire life. Swimming, it has been so hard. Now I feel like I'm getting better at it, but the length of time in which I have spent practicing it compared to the gain that I have expected, it has been so slow in terms of progress. Now, it's hard to progress when you're doing something wrong. So I've probably been doing a lot of things very wrong, but that I think that goes into it a little bit on just how difficult. So like, again, this is one of those things where I'm looking at this list. I was like, man, whoever made this list has not tried to swim a mile in their life.
Well, I get it. I mean, I think that's there, right? If you were to tell me, it's a hard one to judge, right? If we're going at the peak, like Ironman distance, 2.5 mile swim, that's going to be high degree of difficulty.
Yeah.
Right. To me, the one that is the highest in that's undeservedly so is baseball. Softball.
Okay, so Natalie had thoughts on this too. So what do you think about this?
It shouldn't be in the top 10. There's no way. You get people of all shapes. Like if we're demoting golf for the same aspect, I get outfielders, man. I get there's hitting that baseball that's going 100 miles an hour. Yeah, totally get it. But then you also get dudes that are all shapes and sizes in the Major League Baseball doing it at a high level.
Go ahead.
I think one of the things that like made me think that baseball should be lower is that, yeah, in those like 30 second increments of like moving from base to base, like they are like giving their all.
Not even 30 seconds.
Yeah, whatever. It's very short amounts of full effort, and the rest is just standing there. and maybe I'm offending baseball players, but like, it's a lot of waiting time for a lot of players.
In order to not have our baseball listeners, here's what I'll say.
We don't have any baseball. We don't talk about baseball.
That's fair. I think the act of hitting a baseball and getting it into play, or either getting it into play or hitting a home run, either one, whatever, that might be one of the singular hardest things to do in sports. Especially to do it consistently. But if we're taking into account the entirety of the sport, yeah, I agree. I don't know if, because I think if we were just like pinpointing like certain aspects of each sport, like they have football as number 3 on this list. And I don't even think that should be that high either, because there are some positions in football that don't necessarily, and this is coming from somebody who played football a lot, that don't necessarily require you to be multi-skilled, I should say. Baseball, to me, is kind of the same thing. Like you, and again, pitching a baseball, also ridiculously hard. But there are way more positions than just the pitcher and whoever's batting. There are so many other things that take place on a baseball field, and I feel like the reason why baseball got pushed up into the top 10 is because people are putting a disproportionate amount of weight on how hard pitching and hitting is, as compared to every other aspect of that sport.
Yeah, and I'd hate for this to be a thing where someone's sitting there on the other side of this and saying, well, you try to catch a ball. You try to catch a line drive that's hit towards third base that's going 110 miles an hour off the bat. It's like, oh, yeah, I guess you're right. I couldn't do that. That's why it's tough for me to be like volleyball sitting there at 21. I'm like, I mean, to me, it would be closer. Volleyball would be closer to like the 60s, because it's not over time. It hasn't become as difficult. Right. But like something like surfing that's at 23, I'm like, I can't even imagine yeah. me going out and trying to surf right now. I'm going to die in the ocean. So it's tough in that aspect. Baseball also doesn't have the physicality where you're literally colliding with people that a soccer or a basketball or a rugby or football or hockey or like, right. Yeah. You could get hit in the head with a pitch, but that's incidental contact, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's those moments with which that's what I've kind of taken away from the top 10 here, which again, we could point at tennis. The fact that tennis is that high is kind of surprising too. I think maybe.
Oh, really? I didn't think so.
Well, I'm thinking if we're taking it in terms of the pros, like the fact that they have to play tennis at that high level for like 4 straight hours, I think makes it kind of difficult. But if you're talking about like you and I, Jason, playing tennis, it's not going to be nearly as difficult.
Right.
Right.
For everybody listening, just to give you some context, here's the top 10, starting from 10, moving up to 1. Soccer's 10, then baseball, gymnastics, tennis, martial arts, and then rounding out your top 5 is wrestling, basketball, football, ice hockey, boxing as the hardest sport. So that's your guys's, that's your top 10. I agree with you that I think that, you know, if you and I are playing tennis, I do think we have to look at this list and think about it in terms of the absolute like highest level of competition. But I also think that there are a lot of people who, you know, they watch tennis and, you know, people say all the time about how hard it is to hit a baseball coming at 100 miles an hour. I don't think people realize that tennis balls come in at 140 miles an hour on a shorter, what I believe is a shorter court. And that court, the tennis court is so much bigger. Like, it doesn't look that big, but when you actually step on it and you have to cover the entire half of that court, it is really, really difficult. Plus, you don't have anybody else to rely on. It's just you. So, Nat, I know when we looked at this, you had initially pointed out tennis being not surprised at it being that high. It seemed like you were kind of in agreement with that.
I definitely think it's one of those ones that's, like, deceivingly difficult. Like, and I almost compare it to golf in a sense where it's, like, there's a difference in playing golf or playing tennis and being good at it. Because Jason's right, like, it's a one, you're your own team, there's no one else to fall back on, and I don't know, I look at it and at the level of, like the highest level of tennis, and I could not imagine having a tennis ball flying at me that quickly, and, like, also think about, like, the mental aspect of being able to, in the split second, use strategy of like aiming the tennis ball in a certain way because your opponent is standing in this certain spot, like being able to make those like quick, fast decisions and also execute them at the same time is, I think, kind of why they place it so highly.
And can we just give some questions marks to badminton cracking the top 30?
That was my biggest issue.
That was your biggest issue of the whole list?
Maybe.
badminton being above, like, car, like, actual, like, NASCAR racing.
But, diving, again, whoa.
Swimming.
So, auto racing, are we talking, like, I get NASCAR, it's a left turn the whole time. They've introduced street racing, so I don't know about that. And then, like, F1 style. Like, I don't think you can just put a random person in there and they're going to succeed. They're literally going to die.
Oh, yeah. And the amount of, like, force that is being exerted on you throughout the entire race to do that constantly for that long. I mean, if you look at some of the racers and like how much they like sweat during their time driving and like actually watch like a behind the scenes, it's insane what they endure during those races. And you would know. I mean, you watch a lot of F1 stuff.
Yeah, I'd know exactly what they're going through.
Yeah, no, I mean,
I know exactly where they're coming from. But the fact that racing is at 32 and we got fencing at 24, that's just got to be, you know, Lewis Hamilton's just sitting at his house shaking his head.
I know. And yeah, badminton being above golf, water, like racquetball. Swimming, racquetball, yeah, rodeo, like even skateboarding. How many people are actually good at skateboarding? Like, badminton's the imposter. I agree. Badminton's the imposter for me.
So I don't know, like, is it equal parts physicality, equal parts, like, how talented the athlete has to be? Like, what is the criteria here?
I don't know. I think, again, there's no context given for the list, which sucks.
Because I think wrestling's a little high.
You said that too.
I also kind of agreed with you.
But what is the difference? So Sam, you wrestled. So like,
yep.
So what, I'm curious to see why you think that, because for somebody like myself who hasn't wrestled, I actually thought that felt like a fine place for it.
In the top five, I wouldn't say it's the top five hardest sport. Cause to me, yes. Are wrestlers extremely talented? Yeah, but I don't think it requires as much talent as a tennis. Like, to me, it's just you are out, like physically in your opponent,
mm-hmm.
in some way. Like, there's no creative, well, there's some creative strategy, I guess, but it's not like you're outthinking your opponent. You are outwilling your opponent to get a point or get a takedown or, create a pin situation, right? Like, you have to be, everyone knows what's happening, and then you just have to be the one that executes.
Now, what was your,
I don't know, I just think it kind of, like, obviously the physicality is different, but it kind of reminds me of fencing in a sense that it's like kind of controlled, I would say, pretty heavily when it comes to like physicality. Like, When it comes to basketball, like, you're going to get a cheap elbow to the ribs, like, if you're playing in the post, like, pretty much every time you're up and down the court. But, like, I feel like with wrestling and fencing, like, the physical aspects are, like, much more controlled and technical, which just makes it, like, it's not scrappy, which I feel like. Like, wow. I'm kind of shocked that, like, water polo, I would say water polo and rugby are more physically demanding and difficult than wrestling.
I'm shocked water polo didn't crack the top 10.
That's what I thought was the number one.
Yeah, you're, like, putting wrestling and soccer into a pool and saying that that's water polo.
Yeah, basically. Like, here, tread water for 2 hours and then, yeah, also play soccer. Also play handball.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, to me, like, the fact that wrestling is right above martial arts, which, are we putting, like, MMA into martial arts?
I'm assuming so.
Because then you're pretty much saying that's wrestling, but with punching and kicking.
Right. I like how none of us have said that boxing is not
number It's one. Not. Come on.
You don't think it's number one?
No.
Oh, dude, I don't know.
Dude, any Joe Schmo can go to a gym and see a boxing bag and just start punching it.
But we were talking about the highest level, like, the entire time, though.
I don't know, man. You're getting YouTubers and celebrities just saying, oh, yeah, I'll get in the boxing ring.
He has a point.
So the only experience that I have boxing is just, like, passively on my own, just as, like, a fun workout to do. And the first day that I went to go do it, I was like, all right, I'm going to go. We have a heavy bag at my gym. I'm going to go spar. It'll be fine. It'll be fun. I went to go do it. And I talk about swimming, feeling super uncoordinated. And mm-hmm. This is coming from somebody who has, like, Marine Corps martial. You have to think about almost more things, I think, than you do swimming. Like, just based on where your feet are, how, where to put your hands, the movement of your head, your hips, how to punch properly, the six punch. I don't know, dude. I couldn't. It is an overwhelming amount of information to take in at the beginning. And maybe if you've been doing it for years, you know, it's obviously a habit, all of the technical stuff. You're not really thinking about it. But having to read somebody else at, like, lightning fast speeds while worrying about your own sort of I don't know. I don't mind boxing being number one.
So is there a sport, is there any other sport that you in, like, that top 10 that you could say, Jason, I'm going to give you 6 months. You can train. You hire a world-class trainer, and you every single day are working on boxing. Is there any other sport there that you think that if you gave, if you had 6 months, a trainer, and you're boom, 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 drilling out for 6 months, that you're going to be ready to compete in that sort of way, like we've seen celebrity boxing has come into play? With, like, Logan Paul and Jake Paul, just up out of the blue, no experience whatsoever. Boom, they hire a trainer. They train for 6 months, and boom, they're ready. They're ready to fight, right? If you give me 6 months to do ice hockey, no way. Basketball, I mean, I've been playing basketball for years, and I'm still not good. Tennis, no way. Gymnastics, heck no. Soccer, heck no. Like,
yeah, but you're also, what are we talking starting about here? You're also starting with your own level of, like, skill and all of that. I would, the only sport that I think could supersede boxing, that if I could do, like, a 1 and a 1A, for me it would be gymnastics. Anybody, anytime anybody at the gym that I work at has asked me who I think the strongest people on the planet are, my answer always is gymnasts. Like, To go to your example, if we had – we could take a random person off the streets who had never played – you know what? Let's use Bree for example. Bree, I love my fiance. She didn't play any sports.
Wow. Tread carefully.
No, yeah. She didn't play any sports, okay, when growing up. So if we – now she weightlifts now, so that is its own sport in and of itself. But if we – I know it's ranked 44, actually. If we asked Bree to in 6 months to see how much progress she could make on boxing or on gymnastics, I do agree with you from that sense that she would make way more progress boxing than she would doing gymnastics.
Okay.
So I guess from that standpoint, you're right. I guess boxing being one maybe has that. Going against it, because, and now I'm kind of talking myself into saying gymnastics is the number one sport, because I just can't get past this idea of picking a random person off the street and in 6 months saying, hey, you're going to have to do an iron cross for 10 seconds as opposed to just sparring in a ring for 3 minutes.
Now if we're saying, like, what physical condition or, like, what my health would be after competing in these events, I get why boxing would be number one. Like, my health would be impacted more than any of the other sports. I'm just saying it seems like the barrier to entry is a little bit lower for boxing.
That's fair.
He has a point.
That's fair. Thoughts?
What would you want to be if not boxing? What would you want to be number one? I know Jason said he's kind of talking himself into gymnastics. What do you want the number one? What do you think the number one should be?
That's a tough one. We thrown out water polo. Like, yeah, gymnastics is a good one. I mean, I don't mind ice hockey just flying, like, going in there. Yep. Like, the fact that you got blades on your feet and you're trying to hit this black little disc that's just flying around this ice, the
size of a computer mouse
while dudes are just, like, throwing themselves into you, does sound pretty frightening. I mean, I've always contended, right, like, soccer, like, to be truly great at soccer is no small feat, and there's millions upon millions of people that are trying to achieve that and can't.
I like that you said no small feet for soccer.
I didn't even intend that.
That was perfect. No, I agree with you. I think soccer and basketball fall into a very similar category from, like, It's one thing, like in football, you can kind of specialize a little bit. And I think there is an element, especially in football, of you could be a freak athlete.
Yeah, you don't have to be as talented.
Yeah, you could be a freak athlete, and they can put you at linebacker or defensive end and just say, go get the quarterback. but in basketball and soccer, especially if you're playing high-level basketball, there is you have to be good at almost everything. You don't have to be perfect at everything.
I don't know. We've seen some Kings players that aren't good at things.
Yeah, that's fair. And the same thing goes for soccer. Though, like, you don't have to be good at everything, and but you also kind of do. so, yeah. What about you? What's your number one?
You know, I keep going back and forth because we go on the topic of gymnastics, and as someone who like tumbled when she was doing cheer, like throwing flips and stuff like that is. It looks difficult because it is incredibly difficult, and I was only doing it at in maybe intermediate level. My brain wants to say gymnastics, but then I also think ice hockey because the fact that it's such a common thing for people to not have teeth in ice hockey, like the physicality of it, and the fact that like the puck is so small, like. And it moves so quickly is like such a difficult thing to like process, but also like again basketball and soccer like they have like mental aspects of it. There is the skill level, and on top of that, there's physicality. Like it's kind of like across the board has everything, which makes me want to put one of those as at the top. If that makes sense.
It's an interesting conversation, and we've already spent about half the show talking about it. So we can move on here very soon. It like for those of you who haven't looked at the list, if you haven't looked at it during this time again, I encourage you to go to Max Prep's Instagram page. It was posted 3 days ago. Just take a peek at this list because, I mean, they really. I didn't see cricket on here. I'm surprised I didn't see cricket on here.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I actually don't know how many sports they left off.
Are you ready for a hot take?
Go. Do it. Close it.
To finish it off? Yeah. I don't think that horse racing and equestrian should be on this.
Mm. Okay.
Interesting.
Unless we were talking about in terms from the horse's perspective. Because the rider is not doing anything.
I'm okay with that.
And the fact, like, you're telling me, oh, horse racing is harder than golf? But yeah, I could sit on the top of a horse as it is a world-class animal. And it could run. I could do that. Why not? You just hold on for dear life.
Why not?
That's like rodeo, which is also on this list.
Yeah, Sorry, rodeo. Steer wrestling? Heck no. Throw that thing up in the top 10. You're telling me you could tell every single like rodeo guy that baseball is harder than what they're doing, yeah. Risking their lives every single time. Yeah. Okay.
I'm sure. I bet you if you told anybody who like does competitive bull racing, be like, hey, we're going to throw a baseball at your head. They'd be like, and?
Where's bullfighting?
They're like, and?
Do you see where's like bullfighting, yeah. Or like running from the bulls?
Yeah, it's like you see what's behind that cage over there. What? Yeah, rodeo could be higher than where do they have it? Oh, they have it at 42 for bull and bareback and bronco, and then they have 40 at calf roping.
Oh, interesting. Oh, so that's I think the 42 one is the conventional.
Yes.
One that you're just holding on.
Yeah.
Then what's the steer wrestling?
Oh man, where's that?
It's at 15.
15. I don't know. I have my computer right here in front of me. I'm just gonna.
You think they dress up in singlets with the bull?
Oh. Okay. So the steer. I don't even know how I'm gonna begin to explain this. But
should it be higher? Should it be higher, Jason? Just be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it should be. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Okay. So that actually no.
No, that's kind of accurately.
No, I'm pulling it back. I'm pulling that back. So they basically, you have two guys who ride out on horses, and then one of them jumps off and grabs the horns of a bull and like drags it to the ground.
Keep in mind, it's not like a bull, like full.
Yeah, it's not
fully grown. It's like it looks like
maybe it's an adolescent, like
teenager age.
Bull. It hasn't quite hit puberty yet.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That looks.
So we're saying it's easy.
Maybe not easy, but it looks easier than
holding onto a full-grown bull. Yeah.
Calf roping or.
Yeah, I agree.
Rodeoing.
I agree. Well, Nat, do you have any hot takes before I kick you out?
I mean. Not really.
You're brimming.
I think maybe racquetball is way too high. I don't.
Oh, that's wow. Just alienated our whole audience. Come on, Natalie.
Racquetball at 22, right below volleyball.
Yep.
Racquetball kind of is similar vibes to badminton, that it just like doesn't seem quite as taxing as some of the other sports.
Well, thanks for getting rid of, like Sam said, our entire audience for that.
No, I agree, though. I agree. Racquetball, right there with pickleball.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same thing. If dudes can go to the gym and, like, I'm talking like 70-year-olds are going to the gym every single day to play in racquetball, then it can't be that hard.
My hot take is diving should be top 15.
How? That's a weak take.
I diving, but I think it's the fact that diving's at 35. That's bad.
Dude, bobsledding's too high. The dogs are doing all the work.
Bobsledding at 28.
We need more animal rights in this list.
That's fair. All right. Well, we have other stuff, obviously, that we have to get to. I hope everybody enjoyed that conversation as much as we did. It's such an interesting list. I had never actually seen a sports page do something like that before. So the fact that they just randomly popped it out there, and I love the little via ESPN in the bottom right hand corner. I think ESPN was ashamed of this list, so they just had Max Crabtree post it. They're like, it wasn't us.
We should ask Josh about this list.
We should.
Did he get a vote?
Next time we have him on, we'll have to bring it up, because I do, this might be something we could bring back with other people as well to hear their takes, because this is an interesting it is an interesting list, especially as you get more and more people who have played other sports. Like, I'm sure if we had Keegan on here, who we've had on here before, he'd have some opinions about soccer being at 10 and not higher. So well, Nat, thanks for joining us. I hope that was everything you hoped it would be.
It was everything I hoped it would be and more, and I would love to be on here again to have these arguments.
Perfect. Well,
yeah, it'll just be another 5 years probably.
Yeah. So until then, buzz off.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, Natalie. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, man. I just thought that was such an interesting conversation, and I hope everybody enjoyed that as much as I did. Again, it was a very – very interesting list that just popped up out of nowhere. And I really thought coming into this episode that it was just going to be all, you know, a repeat of what everybody had talked about earlier in the week with free agency stuff. So I wanted to do something a little bit different. So Sam, I know I just kind of sprung that on you at the last second. I hope you enjoyed that conversation.
No, I enjoyed it. I think we should come up with, for next episode, we should come up with our list.
I agree with that. I 100% agree. I would love to do at least like a top 10 or a top 15. I agree, of what we think the hardest sports. I agree with that. And then we could bring that list back for like Josh when he comes on, or like Ben if we have him on again, and then for literally anybody else, because I imagine that's one thing that everybody would have an opinion on.
Yeah, everyone that's listening to this show has played a sport.
Oh, yeah, I would imagine so. So, all right, speaking of sports, one has been very active, drama-filled, I guess, and it's not the one that's actually actively taking place, which is the big one right now is obviously the NBA. The NFL offseason, NFL free agency came and then it went, like, immediately. And I know, obviously, it's still going on, but it felt like everybody got moved almost immediately. So I'm assuming if you're listening to the show, you know or are aware of almost all of the moves that have taken place. So I don't necessarily feel the need to go through team by team and break down, like, you know, what the big moves were. However, thankfully, CBS had posted a list of the title of the article is 2024 NFL Free Agency Position by Position Signings, Biggest Deals at Quarterback, Running Back, Wide Receiver, Every Other Major Spot. So it's basically every other major spot, and it's like the top 10, top 8 players that got dealt or re-signed at NFL Free Agency. So I think we could go through some of the bigger positions, like the top 5, and talk about what we think is the most important or impactful position, or not positions, moves that were made at said position. So if I gave you the option of starting at quarterback, running back, or wide receiver, where do you want to begin?
The QBs.
Start at the QB. So let's go through, I can actually just name all of these because there isn't that many. And the one that is not on here is the Justin Fields move that just happened with this.
Wait. Before we do this, can we talk about a guy that's not going to be playing next year?
Sure.
The retirement, the surprise retirement of Aaron Donald.
Yes. That was another big thing that happened. Walk-in Hall of Famer immediately.
For sure. The best defensive player of our generation.
Mm, would you count T.J. Watt as part of our generation?
Yes. Mm. You mean J.J. Watt?
Sorry, not – yeah. Well – yeah, well, yes, that's who I meant, but yes.
Do you think J.J. Watt's better than Aaron Donald?
I don't know.
It's a fair question.
I think it is a fair question. J.J. played longer, but what I don't know off the top of my head – what I don't know off the top of my head is if he was more dominant in his
– I don't know, run. Man. So I think Aaron Donald played in more games than J.J.
So I've got Aaron Donald's career with the Rams right here, which was his, you know, his career. He had 543 tackles, 111 sacks. He was the Defensive Rookie of the Year in 2014. He was a 3-time Defensive Player of the Year, 8-time first-team All-Pro, 10-time Pro Bowl selection, and he was a Super Bowl champion.
Named to the Pro Bowl all of the years he played.
Yeah, I honestly don't know what more he could have done.
I mean, he could have won that Super Bowl MVP.
He could have won the Super Bowl MVP, yes.
But yeah, no, I mean, it's a complete career, for sure.
Yeah, and I know Kyler Murray had said, thank God. He had sent that out as soon as he retired. Which was very funny. I'm sure everybody in that division was also thinking that as well. But, yeah, Aaron Donald retiring. And who takes – if we were saying that he was the best defensive player in the league, who now is? Is it TJ? Is it Max?
Did Myles Garrett win?
He did.
I don't think it's – I don't know, man. I think it's by committee for sure. I think people would probably go towards TJ Watt first. Mm. Sorry about it, dude.
No, I think you're right.
But no, I think it's wide open, really.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think people would lean towards TJ, probably Miles. And then I don't know after that. I really don't, because we're talking about defensive linemen, and if we're talking about, you know, all defensive players, and I'm sure there are a couple cornerbacks and linebackers who would have something to say about that. But yeah, Aaron Donald retiring, no longer going to be able to watch him. And that, I mean, if you're an NFL fan, that does stink, because you were watching one of the best to ever do it in a walk-in Hall of Famer immediately. Like, I don't even think people would necessarily have to vote. I think it'd just be kind of an assumption that he's just gonna be in whatever class he's eligible for the first time.
Yeah, no doubt. And what he did, I mean, turning around that Rams team, he became like a leader, a culture unto himself for that defense and for the whole team. The Rams were like bad. Right? I mean, you remember they ended up with number one pick to get Jared Goff, and there's it took up years to get to that point to where with Sean McVay, Goff, and Cooper Kupp and him, it's like then they started competing for playoffs and made it. He made it to two Super Bowls, ended up winning one with Stafford, but he was there from the beginning for sure. So I think that's a huge stamp of approval for his legacy.
Yeah, no, I agree. So hats off or helmets off to Aaron Donald, one of the absolute best, I mean, to ever do it. And he's going to be like Luke Kuechly, I think, one of the guys who retired early, but I don't think there's any question that they're going to just walk into the Hall of Fame. So,
yeah.
All right. Let's do some free agency stuff. You said you wanted to start at quarterback. The one thing on this list, the one move really at the quarterback position that isn't on this list, like I said, is the Justin Fields move that just recently happened, him getting dealt to Pittsburgh. But I'll go down the list right here. Kirk Cousins went to the Falcons. Gardner Minshew is now a Raider. Sam Darnold is a Viking. Jacoby Brissett heads back to New England. Marcus Mariota is a Commander. Drew Lock is now a Giant. Jameis Winston to the Browns. Mason Rudolph to the Titans. Mitch Trubisky to the Bills. And Russell Wilson to the Steelers. So, out of all of those, which one would say is going to be the most impactful for the new team that has a new quarterback?
I think Sam Darnold with the Vikings.
Oh, yeah?
No, I'm just kidding. it'll be interesting. He's going to flame out there. There's no way.
They're probably gonna draft a QB, so
it's tough for me. I want to say Kirk Cousins, but he's gonna be 30. What is he? He's 36. I think he's gonna be 37 next year, coming off of a torn Achilles. He doesn't have a full off season of recovery. He'll be rehabbing and not preparing for the season with a new team, with a team that's underperformed on offense. I'd like to say that he'll give them some consistency and some stability at that position, but I think it's just going to be a little off this year. Man, there's not a lot of good places to go from there. I got to jump to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, I wonder, because I think both quarterbacks are kind of heading into a similar situation. Like the Falcons, they're a pretty good team. They didn't have good quarterback play. The Steelers, they're a pretty good team. They had some pretty dreadful quarterback play. So now you're getting Kirk Cousins in one and then Russell Wilson in the other. I wonder, I don't know off the top of my head who I would lean towards is going to have a bigger impact for their maybe quote-unquote ready-made team. You know what I mean?
I think Justin Fields is going to be starting for the Steelers at some point this year. Yeah. I think the Steelers, like, it's great that they're only paying Russ, like, the veteran minimum of $1.5 million or whatever it is. That's a great price for him. And then they're only paying Justin Fields, I think, whatever his rookie, the last year of his rookie deal is, it's like $5 million or something. And like then that.
The Bears, to add on to that, they received a 2025 conditional sixth round pick.
Oh, that's it?
Yep.
Yeah. To me it's gonna be Fields is gonna have a bigger impact over Russ in Pittsburgh. The fact that they came out and just said that Russ is QB1 right after trading for Justin Fields, I think was a mistake. Like, why don't you go in with both those guys competing? Russ is more established in the league, but he's looked god awful the last 2 years. He's not the same Russell Wilson. So making that a competition, you just see what you have in both those guys. Who really wants to take it?
Yeah, I agree. I don't know why we've gotten away from having quarterback competitions. You know, like, it does. I was listening to this conversation a lot earlier in the week, and this whole idea that, you know, we are so quick to anoint, talking about as if I'm making the decision on who's starting for teams. Teams are so quick to make decisions on who is starting, and there does seem to be a lack of, like, genuine quarterback competition sometimes in certain places. And I do think, yeah, that if you're bringing in Russell Wilson and you're bringing in Justin Fields, I don't see any reason why you shouldn't or wouldn't have an open competition. I know that Russell Wilson is, he's not ancient. I actually don't know how old he is. Let me figure that out for you real quick. He is 35. Okay, so he's a year younger than Kirk Cousins. So he's definitely on the back nine of his career.
Oh, he's on hole 17.
Yeah, and Justin Fields is, he's probably just on hole 5 right now. So I think, you know, the Steelers obviously make this move with the idea that if Russ is going to start this year, he's not starting next year. Like, I think if you're Pittsburgh, you hope that Russell Wilson does really well for you this year. And this is just going off of the fact that they named him QB1. I think if you're the Steelers, at this point, you're hoping that Russell Wilson is going to be good enough for you to maybe win a playoff game or two, because your team is pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
And then next year, you just get rid of him, because you're only paying him one year, $1.2 million. Somebody, if he plays well, somebody's going to want him next year. Justin Fields has sat behind Russell Wilson for that year, and he's learned under him and Mike Tomlin, and then boom, Justin Fields is now your guy going forward. I think that's the perfect situation for Pittsburgh, like what they want. But, again, I do agree with you. I don't know why they wouldn't at least – like, there was no need or no reason to just immediately come out and say he's their quarterback one. Even if that was the case, like, there's really no need to, like, put that out there right now.
Yeah, what does that say to Fields that he's coming in and getting traded into a situation where he doesn't have the opportunity to win that job?
Right.
We saw what Russell Wilson looked like last year with a defensive-dominated team.
Yeah.
And they didn't get it done in making the playoffs. Like, Pittsburgh at least made the playoffs last year somehow.
Yeah.
I believe Russell Wilson is better than the collection of Mitch Trubisky, Mason Rudolph, and Kenny Pickett at quarterback. So they should make the playoffs again. But what kind of ceiling does this Pittsburgh team want in an AFC that is absolutely loaded with young quarterback talent?
Yeah, no, I agree.
Guys, it's a little befuddling.
Just a tiny bit.
And so the one thing, the expression that we've heard always, right? If you have two quarterbacks, you have zero quarterbacks.
Yeah,
zero quarterbacks. So the fact that they're going into camp with two guys that are, Justin Fields is good enough to start on an NFL team.
Yeah.
Right, for sure. The fact that they're going with both and they've gone with Russ over Fields is surprising. And there's just going to be this talk throughout the season, right? If the Steelers start off 0-3, it's going to be Justin Fields' time.
I don't mean to cut you off, but there is a note here that I'm seeing that I missed the first time through. So the Bears received the 2025 conditional sixth-round pick. That 2025 sixth-round pick becomes a fourth-round pick if Fields plays in 51% of plays this season. So I mean...
So you think they're going to sit until, like, the bye week and then play him?
Yeah, why not, right?
But he's not, like... That's what you would do with, like, a rookie coming off, but he's not, like, he's been in the league for 3 years now.
Yeah. No, I agree with you on the, I agree with everything you're saying. I don't think that there was a necessity right off the bat to come out and say, Russell Wilson, you're QB1. Even if that's what the thought process is within the organization, there's no need to just put that out there right now. Like, why?
You think they're trying to do like a Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes type thing where Justin Fields will sit under Wilson and presumably learn from him So then when the time comes, he's ready to.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was saying. I think in a perfect world, Russell Wilson starts 17 games for them this season. He takes them to the playoffs. He maybe wins them a game or two. He plays really well, well enough that a team is going to want him next year. They can just say, all right, see ya. And then they start Justin Fields because he's been in the Steelers organization. He's learned the offense. He learned under Russell, a quarterback who actually is very similar to him. And he's been around Mike Tomlin the entire time, which I would think would be an overwhelming positive. And then they roll with Justin Fields going forward.
So Fields only has 1 year left of his rookie deal.
That will be interesting because they're obviously going to have a choice to make when that comes.
Right? Like they got a – oh, what do they have? Oh, they have a team option next year. Oh,
okay. Well, yeah, so it was very interesting. I did – truthfully, after Russell Wilson signed with the Steelers, the last place I thought Justin Fields was going to go was Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually just sitting there going, all right, Vegas, go make a move.
Oh, they made a move, all right. Gardner Minshew, baby.
I know. I know. I'm going to be absolutely shocked if the Raiders don't trade up to go pick a quarterback. But if they don't, I suppose – you could have worse options than Gardner Minshew, which I can't believe I'm saying that. Anyway, let's move on. Let's go to the running backs because it felt like every single major running back in the league got traded. I'll just quickly go down the list. Saquon Barkley, Eagles, Josh Jacobs, the Packers, Joe Mixon, Texans. That was probably my favorite move. DeAndre Swift to the Bears, Derrick Henry to the Ravens, Tony Pollard to the Titans, Aaron Jones to the Vikings, Devin Singletary to the Giants, Austin Eckler to the Commanders, Zach Moss to the Bengals, Antonio Gibson to the Patriots, and Gus Edwards to the Chargers. You started off the last one. I'll start off this one. I think Joe Mixon to the Texans is amazing for the Texans. The Texans did so well in free agency this offseason, and he's just going to add – a very interesting wrinkle to that offense that was already super explosive. And I think out of all of the running back situations that happened this past week, that one was my favorite.
Okay. I'm actually shocked.
Really? What do you have a different, do you have a different favorite?
Well, I think that, I mean, Saquon to the Eagles just makes so much sense. Finally putting that guy behind like a talented, consistent offensive line is just, I think, going to do wonders for him.
Yeah, I definitely think there was debate whether or not he makes the Eagles better or was it a luxury piece. He absolutely makes the Eagles better. How could he not?
I mean, Swift did a great job for them last year.
He did. No, you're right. He did. But again, I do think that Saquon Barkley is probably better than DeAndre Swift. And I don't mean to make that sound like a slight to DeAndre Swift, but Saquon Barkley is uniquely talented.
No, I think I agree with that. I think in all honesty, this move was better for Saquon Barkley than it was for the Eagles.
Yes, I 100% agree with that.
Even if he didn't get the money that he was kind of looking for, I think to get him into a winning situation out of New York is going to be just a transformation for him to finally prove that he can make winning plays. And in terms of the Eagles, a running back position now just has capped impact on a team unless you're Christian McCaffrey. I've heard takes this last week of like, well, if there's one guy in the league that can kind of have Christian McCaffrey-like impact, it's a healthy Saquon Barkley. Mm-hmm. That we've kind of never seen in a winning situation. So if they get him on the cheap and he goes out and just completely turns their offense into something explosive that they've not really had in a while, then, man, look out, Dallas.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. And that's going to be killer to the Giants to just watch Saquon Barkley get 1,600 total yards this season.
Man. The Giants literally chose Daniel Jones over Saquon Barkley, and they're gonna have neither after next year.
Yep. Yep. That is the perfect way to put it. I'm happy for Josh that he got paid. I'm obviously sad that we lost him. I wasn't shocked that the Raiders lost him, but I'm very happy that he got the deal that he got. I'm happy that he ended up where he ended up. The Packers are a really exciting up-and-coming team, and Aaron Jones was getting older. Josh Jacobs is still 26. I know it feels like he's been in the league for a long time, but he really hasn't. He's only 26. He's going to be really good with Green Bay. I'm going to be rooting for him a ton. So I liked that. But again, I think the Joe Mixon thing to me was my favorite move just because
– I'm shocked.
Yeah, I get that a little bit, but
is Joe Mixon that good?
I think so.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I don't think he had a very good year.
He may not have had a great year, but I mean, the Bengals weren't amazing last year. He did run for over 1,000 yards on it for a team that, I mean, didn't have the passing attack that they normally do. So it was kind of knew that you were just going to have to bottle up the run game. He still ended up getting 1,000 yards. Plus, he's a threat out of the backfield to get. I mean, he's a 45, 50 plus catches a year kind of guy. So I feel like with that, coupled with his running ability, and again, the Texans are already an up-and-coming team. They won a playoff game last year. CJ Stroud is amazing. I just think that that's going to make their offense all the more better. And I wouldn't be shocked if we're sitting here, you know, week 8 of next season, and we're talking about the Texans being like a top 5 offense in the league, and him being a main one of the main reasons for that.
Can we talk about another team in the AFC West and just head scratching move after head scratching move?
The Chargers getting rid of everybody on their team?
Like, everyone that has contributed in a positive way is no longer on the roster, at least from an offensive standpoint, except for Justin Herbert.
Yeah, so Austin Eckler gone, and this can transition us into, you know, the wide receivers. Where is it? Blah, 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 blah. Oh,
Mike Williams gone. Yeah, Keenan Allen gone.
Gone. There they are. I was trying to find their deals, but I can't find their deals. Yeah, so they're both gone. So Eckler, Keenan, and Williams, all gone, yeah. And Herbert just sitting there going, guys?
What? He won't know who to sit next to at lunch.
Yeah, like, where are my friends? No, I agree with you. But as a Raider fan, I don't care, truthfully.
And then they get, in return, Gus Edwards, which Gus Edwards at times with Baltimore looked really, really good. But, I mean, you saw – didn't you have him in fantasy last year?
Yeah, yeah. At times, he was a machine.
Yeah, and times, like, in games, he was the best running back for the week. And then the next week, he was a no-show.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get Hayden Hurst, I guess, and Will Disley. But it's, like, what they sent out for a team that is – like, they were looking like a team that's rebuilding. That's how they were acting in this free agency.
Yeah.
And then to pile on, Kansas City just gets a little bit better, getting Marquise Brown on a cheap deal.
Was that the best wide receiver signing?
I mean, it makes so much sense for both of them. I'm surprised more guys didn't take a pay cut to go to Kansas City.
I agree.
For intern, like, wide receivers, Irv Smith went there as a tight end, but it's like, if I'm a wide receiver and I've already been paid, like Mike Williams, if he signs with Kansas City, does that just not make so much sense?
No, it does. It does. I liked Curtis Samuel going to the Bills. I thought that was a nice pickup. Gabe Davis got a lot of money to go to the Jaguars. That was a little surprising.
That's funny. And Calvin Ridley got a lot of money to go to the Titans.
Calvin Ridley got a lot of money to go to the Titans. Yeah. So if
Calvin Ridley and DeAndre Hopkins in Tennessee, who's throwing them the ball?
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. That's such an awesome duo of wide receivers right there. But, yeah, we might have another Falcon situation going on in Tennessee. Not that Will Levis is a scrub or anything. He played fairly well last year, but not amazing. Not amazing. And then I got to throw out, just because it was both of our teams, Armstead is gone from the 49ers. Yep. How do you feel about that?
It hurts, man. I mean, the guy was grew up in Sacramento, went to Oregon, played for the Niners his whole career, was a part of both the Super Bowl teams, and then to see him gone sucks.
Mm-hmm. I was looking forward to hearing what your thoughts were on that, because I felt that wasn't something that 49er fans were gonna be happy about.
Well, I mean, it's nothing on Eric for sure, and it right. sucks that this is what happens to teams that are paying a lot of guys, and the Niners have been able to get away with it with restructuring Kittle's deal and restructuring. I mean, they've restructured Armstead's deal a couple of times. Like, they've been able to push back money. They've restructured Juszczyk's deal a bunch of times. Like, they've been able to ask guys to, hey, we did sign you to these, like, really big deals for your position, but can you help us out so we can re-sign Bosa, so we can re-sign Debo? And they know that that Brock bill is going to come due in a couple of years, and they got to be ready for it. Especially when maybe hopefully find a deal for Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah.
Right. So when you're trying to pay everyone, like, you're just gonna lose. And we've seen that with great teams like the Seattle team. That's what their demise was. It wasn't on the field, it was off the field. Guys just started getting paid a little bit more, and they couldn't keep together the Legion of Boom.
Right. And then for my team, the Raiders picking up Christian Wilkins, that came out of left field.
Mm-hmm.
It was a monster deal, but yep. I'm here for it.
It's just so weird. It's such a weird pickup for them.
It is strange, but again, at the same time, it's like, well, he's definitely, without question, going to make your defense better.
Yeah.
So, I know it's a big deal. I know it was a lot of money, but he's a stud, and he's going to shore up the middle of that defensive line, and it's going to be one of those things for offenses where it's like, well, okay, we got Wilkins in the middle, and we got Crosby to either side, so yep. let's just run to the other side. We'll run away from Wilkins, and we'll run away from Crosby, but if the defense kind of knows you're going to be doing that anyway – then they can kind of load that side. I think it's going to be really interesting to see Wilkins and Crosby together on the defensive line, because you have one of the best edge rushers in the league and one of the best, like, just interior line defensive linemen in the league on the same line together.
Mm.
I just think that that's going to be really fun to watch as a fan. I hope that it is as much dividends as I feel like it's going to.
Well, I mean, he's going to play well, right? That's not what I'm – kind of confused about. It just seems like this was a move that the GM, guys that are handling the budget, the cap, looked at each other and were like, oh, we got a lot of money that's not going to someone. Let's go give it to someone.
Right. But if they were going to do that, I'm glad they gave it to him, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I kind of figured we were going to end up losing Renfro. So, I don't know. Could maybe they have tried to go after Curtis Samuel to maybe replace? Maybe. But again, we have no idea who the quarterback's going to be.
Where did Hunter Renfro go?
I don't know, actually. I know he got released. I don't actually know.
I don't think he's been signed.
I don't know if he has been signed. I imagine he's probably going to be later on in free agency kind of pick up for somebody.
Are you surprised at how active two teams that are at the top of the draft were in free agency, in the Bears and the Commanders?
Just in terms of, like, the amount of deals they made?
Yeah, signings and trades and, I mean, the amount of roster additions that they made.
No, I mean, they were both – well, the Bears actually weren't that bad. They were kind of sneaking their way into a playoff conversation towards the end. But the Commanders were a bad team. So, like, if you've got a chance to acquire some talent, then go out and get it.
Yeah, Bears get four O-linemen. Keenan Allen, DeAndre Swift are going to be immediate impact guys.
Whoever gets drafted there, if it does end up being Caleb Williams, is walking into a pretty decent
spot. Well, it's got to be Caleb Williams, right?
Yeah.
At this point,
he's walking into a pretty good spot with Chicago.
Yeah, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen. They got rid of Mooney, but they got Cole Kmet is a good tight end.
And their defense towards the end of last year really started to play well. So you have.
Could they make the playoffs? Could he be CJ Stroud 2.0?
He could be. He could be. I don't think anybody would be shocked if the Bears made the playoffs.
People would be shocked.
Next year. Well, I mean, people who weren't paying attention.
Oh, come on. I mean, for a team to go from the number one pick or a top three pick to the playoffs is rare.
The number one pick because they got it from Carolina, not because they were that bad.
Yeah, but they made a lot of moves. I don't know, man. I'd be shocked.
Well, when we make our predictions for next season, we'll I'll throw the Bears in there and we'll make a bet on it or something. any last big news or comments about free agency before we wrap things up, or do you have any Kings thoughts you want to send out there?
Kings thoughts. I'm glad the Kings own the Lakers this year.
Oh, yes. Yes, that was a good day. That was a good day. The Rockets thing wasn't, but we moved past that.
I'm glad Jimmy G found a home in LA.
Yeah. Yep. Sorry, don't let the door hit you on the way out, big guy.
Hey.
I didn't hate Jimmy.
Wasn't his fault, man.
It wasn't his fault. It wasn't his fault. Kings going up against the Grizzlies tomorrow. Then they got the Raptors and Wizards. Got a 3-game stretch here that's looking very tasty for the Kings. So hopefully they can string some wins together. I know that they had they beat the Spurs, they beat the Bucks, they beat the Lakers. That game against the Knicks was one of the most entertaining basketball games I've ever watched.
So truthfully, I didn't watch it. What was like with the defense and the physicality? So this has been the crazy thing this since the All-Star break. The NBA, it almost was like listening, and officials have started to swallow their whistles a lot more and just let guys play a lot more.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was nice because it seems that the Kings have been kind of digging their heels in defensively recently, which has been really nice. And I think the Knicks being that kind of team, it also just – not only are the Kings, does it feel like they're starting to do that a little bit more? The Knicks just do that every night. So it seemed that they, like, fed into that a little bit. And, man, it was just a physical game. It was really fast. Jalen Brunson was just playing out of his mind. He scored 42 points. Fox played really well. Sabonis played really well. Barnes and Keegan, they all had double digits. Malik had double-digit points. I am starting to feel that Keon Ellis should be in the starting lineup instead of Herter.
Whoa.
Oh, dude, they're better defensively when he's out there, and he's been providing a really good offensive punch for them that I think what you gain defensively with him being on the court is just a necessity right now with how much Herter has been struggling.
He played 29 minutes in that game to Kevin Herter's 16,
recently he's been outpacing Herter in minutes like every game recently.
Yeah, I don't like what's happening to Kevin Herter. I'll just say
I don't
that.
Like it either, but I think we kind of have to roll with the hot hand a little bit and just go with Keon.
I mean, what the heck's going on with De'Aaron going 5 for 19?
Yeah, that was – well, in the second – in the fourth quarter, everybody went cold. I know you said you didn't watch the game, but I think at one point the Kings were like 2 for 17 in the fourth quarter.
Oh,
they,
good.
They went cold. They just went completely cold in the fourth quarter. So that was fun to watch. But, yeah, they've Where's the standings? Let me pull this up really quickly. They're hanging out right at 6. The Mavericks are right behind them. They kind of control their own destiny a little bit from that standpoint. They play the Suns again, and I believe they play the Mavericks. Yes, they play them twice the remainder of the season. So they have a chance to beat the two teams right directly behind them. So it's right there for them to take the sixth spot. They've got a 3-game stretch here coming up against the Grizzlies, Raptors, and Wizards. Those are three lighter-ish teams, but we know how that goes sometimes with the Kings. And then they obviously get the 76ers, who are not a juggernaut right now because of beating out, but
yeah.
And then they do play the Magic. So interesting 5-game stretch coming up here. So
not too bad though.
Yeah, not too bad. The next 5 games, not too bad. They're gonna need almost all of those, I think.
They're in a 3-way tie for 6.
Yep. They got no room to breathe.
Come on, New Orleans. You know you want to just slide a little bit. Come back to the pack.
I know. All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening. We really do appreciate it. If you stuck around long enough to the end of the episode, again, we can't thank you enough. Have a wonderful week, and we will see you all next Monday.
See ya.